What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 8:01 on this Tuesday night following Inside the Birds. Welcome back for another week. I'm Devon Gibbons with you tonight until 10, and that will be every Monday following Inside the Birds as the guys are back, Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan. Great to have them back in the fold for the football season. Be a blast to follow them and discuss some things that they talk about each and every Monday following game days here on the Fanatics. We'll have things to react to throughout the season following Jeff and Adam, so it's great to have that. And tonight, as we gear up, it is the start of the NFL season, folks. Thursday, 2 days away, we start off the NFL campaign where the Tampa Bay Bucks, the defending champs, come back and they will host the hated Dallas Cowboys. So we are set for that, 2 days away. And then in 5 days, we all are waiting for, obviously, the start of the Eagles football season. And so much to discuss during this entire week as we get ready for the Birds and the Falcons on Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff. We have plenty to talk about with the Birds. So first of all, I hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. Safe, healthy, everybody got through it just fine. And it's great to be back to talk about it. Look, college football was in the mix. The Phillies beating up on the Brewers after losing to the Marlins. We knew they were going to lose to the Marlins, didn't we? We already knew that, right? So that was to be expected because they cannot beat them. And that is something we hope doesn't bite them in, you know what, the final series of the season, if, in fact, they are in the mix for the division or the playoffs for the Phils. So we'll get into them a little bit as we sprinkle things around. The Phils playing the Brewers right now. And that is kind of like on the back burner, though, right now as we get ready for the Philadelphia Eagles in week one officially starting on Thursday. But look, with the Birds, as we've talked about, and we have an abbreviated show here with these 2 hours, Tyler Zuli here hanging out with us. 9:45, we'll have the leftovers. We need to get into some Birds conversation and have a real discussion on the Philadelphia Eagles. Have an open conversation on the Philadelphia Eagles, because as listening to the guys, Adam and Jeff, and talking about where they'll be, how competitive they'll be, the fact that Atlanta only won 4 games, and they were in a lot of games that were blown eventually towards the end, where they probably should have had a better win total. But your record is what your record is. So they were a 4-win team. So why are they not going to be able to beat the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday afternoon for game one? There are a lot of things, of course, that we're going to get to over the course of these coming days. Obviously on Sunday when we discuss it. But right now, looking at this football team, and we've talked so much about why they are not this, why they're not that, why they are not expected to have a really good football season that is upcoming for the Birds, led by Nick Sirianni, first-time head coach, and first-time starting quarterback in Jalen Hurts. So as we discuss everything that's on the table in general, just overall with the Philadelphia Eagles, I did want to talk about how this football team is going to be in this division. And we've been going back and forth on why will the Eagles be able to win the division. You're giving Ryan Fitzpatrick too much credit. Dallas still has offensive line issues. What's going on with their defense? They're still not going to be very good on that side of the football. The Eagles will still be able to mix in possibly 9-10 games. That should win the division. 17-game season, you'll have an extra one. They'll lose their fair share because they're going to lose their fair share. They're not that great. However, they're also going to, as we know, with football, win some games that they are not supposed to. They're going to lose some games that they're not supposed to as well. We know the balance when it comes to an NFL season. So I have said openly, as we've talked about this leading up to the training camp, during training camp, preseason games, and now we are 5 days away from kickoff for the start of the 2021 season for the Birds, I have been saying that they're going to win 7-8 games max in this division. We've heard people say, no, they'll win 9, maybe 10. Tyler's on the fence where he's on the side of 6 maybe 7 at max, but 6 is the number for Tyler Zuli. And we've had this up and down conversation of win total. Part of it is because we don't know who they are. Led by Nick Sirianni, a first-time head coach. Jalen Hurts, as we mentioned, new defensive coordinator. An entirely new staff. And you have a young wide receiver group that you have no idea of what they're going to be. Sure, Devontae Smith was worth the number 10 overall selection, and he is the best receiver on this team without even seeing a regular season snap. He is. The others, we don't know from there. We still have questions about Jalen Reagor. Quez Watkins has been the darling of the offensive side of the football for the training camp, but we still don't know who he's going to be in the regular season. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is here as a big body, as a fifth wide receiver, but he is also more here for the special teams nature for the Philadelphia Eagles. And Greg Ward, he's always mentioned last because everyone forgets about Greg Ward. All he does is catch the football, except for that one that he dropped in preseason from Joe Flacco wide open. Other than that, he catches the football. He's the one constant that you know about. And the extension of the wide receivers are the tight ends. Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz. You just heard Adam and Jeff talk about how Dallas Goedert's probably in the 60s and Zach Ertz will be in the 40s. And Jeff mentioned he'll steal some touchdowns, probably be in that 5 range for the touchdowns because of you know, just him understanding how to work things in the red zone and scoring some touchdowns. But with all of that, there are a lot of questions that we've talked about with this football team. There are many, and we'll go over them over the course of these next couple of days and hope that we can get some good answers, some positives as we talk about the Birds in this upcoming season where you want to come in excited. You are because it's a new football season, and there's this air about them because you don't know. There could be some good things. There could be some bad things. They could meet in the middle, and there'll be a 9-8 team, and we're talking about potentially a wild card team in the NFC. We don't know. So as I sit here and I talk about them, and I firmly believe that Washington is going to be the best team in the division. I'm not saying they're going to win 12, 13 games. I'm just saying that this division, while it not very good and Washington not all that great with their quarterback situation with Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starter. Who is it? Heinicke is still the number 2 behind him because he showed some nice things last season and in the postseason when he was forced into action. All right, cool. Dallas, I said they're going to be number 2. Some have them flip-flopped, but they're going to be 1 and they're going to be 2, and then there's the Giants and the Eagles in whatever order you might have them. But why not the Philadelphia Eagles for a potential playoff spot? And I ask that because we've talked about them so much negatively going into this football season where many people have simply talked about them just being, I'm just going in there with no expectations because we don't know. We have no idea. But what we also don't know is Ryan Fitzpatrick going to be that much better than Dwayne Haskins and Heinicke from last season? I think he will, but many people do not think, where I am overvaluing his addition to that team, even though my point of it and laying it out and saying that he is going to be just fine with the weapons that they have, with McLaurin and Samuel and, of course, Gibson as the running back and Thomas at the tight end spot. They have stuff. Offensive line will be there. The fact that he is someone who you're asking to go in there and just simply not mess it up, to be a game manager, if you will, and that is not a knock on him. That's just simply saying, hey, we have a fantastic defense. We have weapons on the offensive side to give you to work with. Just let's not mess it up. Let's move the football. If we don't get 6 or 7, obviously, or 8, we'll make sure we get 3. Don't turn the football over. Maybe you're not going to be the Jets quarterback where you light it up and have your career season. Just go out there and be a professional quarterback. And by the way, you have a fantastic head coach who they believe is turning things around in Washington. So that's where I am with them. Then you go to Dallas and Dak Prescott is back. Ezekiel Elliott had an off year. The offensive line is going to be back. You have year 2 of CeeDee Lamb to go along with the wide receivers that are also already there that you know are good players. They're going to be fine offensively where they're going to put up some points. So those are the reasons there. New York, Saquon Barkley is back. They pick up Kenny Galladay. Defensively, they've added some stuff, but they're still New York and Joe Judge is a maniac. It's not going to work. But those are also the things where people say, New York can still win it because of Saquon Barkley. Kenny Golladay added to that team, improving their defense where they've had questions. Joe Judge may be a maniac, but they play for him. So there are all these things that we line up positively for Washington, Dallas, and New York to even compete and possibly win a division for New York, where the other two are the clear-cut favorites for many. Why not the Philadelphia Eagles? And for me, to lay it out is all those negative things that we talked about that could go away from those other teams that could cause them to lose those games as well. So as we sit here tonight, 8-11, on this Tuesday night following Inside the Birds with Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan every Monday. This is Tuesday, but every Monday going forward throughout the NFL season. I want to know from you, as Eagle fans, going in, open-minded, don't know, all these questions, not many answers, but you just don't know, right? Why will the Philadelphia Eagles be in a position, that's what I'm going to ask you, be in a position to win this division when many expect them not to do just that? 610-632-0975. Dallas is not a juggernaut. Washington, New York, obviously the same can be said about them. They have things that are in their favor to win the division. The Eagles do have a good defensive line. As much as I'm not a big fan of Derek Barnett, as you know, they overall have stuff along that defensive line where the rotation is good. If, like Adam mentioned, they can get things started up the middle with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, who was the star of training camp on the defensive side of the football, if they are able to get that done and keep it up and get to Matt Ryan, obviously, we're talking about a good chance of them winning game one against the Atlanta Falcons. The edge. You know who Brandon Graham is. Even a season, a year later, he is still Brandon Graham. You trust him out there. The questions come then. Josh Sweat, Derek Barnett, Ryan Kerrigan. As far as that rotation, Milton Williams, you mix him in. You don't know, but look, they have depth. They have stuff that you might trust going in. The corners already improved because Avante Maddox is not starting on the outside. He is your slot corner. So Steve Nelson opposite Darius Slay with Maddox in the slot. Still questions there. Zach McPherson, young player. But you still feel better because you have an actual starting cornerback opposite Darius Slay. The safety spot. While Roddy McLeod is coming back from his injury, and who knows what type of player he will be when he gets back out there, you at least feel good with him and Harris back there, the offseason addition from the Minnesota Vikings, where you think that Anthony Harris can be a good addition to the safety spot. And overall, with what they have, Kayvon Wallace, some depth, and maybe those guys can come up and help in the box with Eric Wilson, who was a pickup, Alex Singleton, who people absolutely like, right? You really like him. You don't love him. You like him. He seems like he can play. They might have found something there. Defensively, you look at it, and with what everyone talks about with Jonathan Gannon, from Jeff and Adam, Tim McManus, all the other beat reporters in town that talk about Jonathan Gannon, not only do you talk about the interests of the defense and Javon Hargrave and Josh Sweat and Steve Nelson and Wilson and Harris, the newcomers, McPherson that are in here, so many people talk about how good Jonathan Gannon is, how coveted he was in the offseason, how much praise the Eagles got, Nick Sirianni did, in bringing Jonathan Gannon in. That is a bonus going in where we have questions, but we don't have an answer just yet, only because we haven't seen him. But coming from the Zimmer tree there, and Mike Zimmer, and defensively from afar, we've liked what he did in Cincinnati, like what he's done over the last couple of seasons as a head coach defensively with Minnesota, that's going to carry over here to Philadelphia. Offensively, the unknown. Young coach, young quarterback, young receiving group, a offensive line where we know can get the job done. Jordan Mailata, year two, starting on the left side. Questions about, is Landon Dickerson going to eventually take over for Isaac Seumalo, like we talked about last week? And you have something there. By the way, you have a very good running back in Miles Sanders, and the rest of them are pretty good. Scott Gainwell, the questions are there, but you like him. You like the tight ends. There are things to like. But again, we don't have answers. So openly right there, there is the unknown. Could they come out and show a lot of things and surprise the Atlanta Falcons? Sure. Could the league then catch up by week 3 and 4? Absolutely. Absolutely. But why not the Philadelphia Eagles? So as we sit here and we start on this Tuesday night, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock here tonight on the Fanatic. Tyler Zuli here. Who are the Philadelphia Eagles this season? And why not them in a position to win the NFC East or just simply make the playoffs as a wild card team? 610-632-0975 as we run with you until 10. Those are the things that I laid out. And maybe you agree, you disagree. We sit here and we just simply talk about the things that I pointed out, something that I may have missed that you want to get off your chest about this very football team and answering the question of who are they this season and why not them? Why not them put themselves right in a position to make a playoff run, if not in the NFC East, certainly as a wild card, similar to what the Phillies are? We have no idea who, we still don't know who they are overall. We might have a better sense now after all the games that we've played, less than, what, close to 30 games left in the season for the Phillies. We have a better sense, but same deal. After a while, we're still asking ourselves, who are they? They're in a position to win the East. We really don't know if they're going to be in a position to win the East, or they're going to be knocked out of the playoffs in the wild card because they're too far back. And next thing you know, they're one of their better players leading the team in home runs at the time, Rhys Hoskins, when he steps off the field because of an injury to his core, he's out. They find themselves a game and a half back in the division and same thing in the wild card, and they're still in the spot to make the playoffs when they shouldn't be. Same thing here as we talk about the Philadelphia Eagles as we get ready for week one in Atlanta against the Falcons, a team where, look, we, again, new head coach, we have no idea. Julio Jones is gone. Calvin Ridley is the number one. Kyle Pitts is expected to be one of these revolutionary, right, these tight ends that's supposed to be one of these all-time greats before he even takes a snap. And we love it because we root for the local guys. We don't want him to succeed against the Philadelphia Eagles in week one because you want to see the Eagles win. But the guy's supposed to be good. Mike Davis can run in that offense. How is that whole thing going to play out? Why can't the Eagles win in week one and maybe even win more than we expected as we get ready for the start of the season? So that's where we'll start off here tonight. 610-632-0975 asking, who are these Philadelphia Eagles? A lot of questions, not many answers. Maybe you have answers going into week one of the Eagles season against Atlanta. Maybe you don't, but that's what we do here. We'll talk it out and figure out, why can't they simply put themselves in a position to win the NFC East or steal one of those wild card spots? So what are they? Do you know what they are at this point? Do you have any idea what they are? And before you say no, for the people who have had them winning 10 games, winning the division, for the people who say no, they're only going to win 6 games, 5. We even had one that said they're not going to be any better than 4 wins that they had last year. There's no way that they're going to have that, right? Well, how do you know? That's why we want to ask these questions here tonight as we start off some football conversation. We'll get into the Phillies as they go along, taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. And we'll have leftovers with Tyler Zuli at 9:45 later on tonight here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Our numbers, 610-632-0975. And before we go to break, and we'll get to all your phone calls, Heavy, we'll start with you when we get back. I wanted to say this because I wanted to make sure I said it in the first segment. We talk movies, film, right? TV a lot here on this show. Have a lot of fun. Little entertaining stuff that we do. Man, when I saw that Michael K. Williams passed away this weekend, I sat there stunned. Sent it to one of my closest friends, one of my best friends since we were kids, right? Like my brother. And And I sent it to him first because I knew that he had had some interactions with him and, you know, had a pretty, you know, cool relationship with him when he was in town. And obviously the work that, for me, that he has done on The Wire. I did not watch him in Boardwalk Empire because I just wasn't into the show. For people who know me, you know that, like Tyler knows, I'm not a big period piece type dude where you go back and I just can't get into it. So even though you have great people like Buscemi and Michael K. Williams in the series and how the reviews were fantastic about it, I couldn't get into it. But everyone talks about how great he was with in that character with Boardwalk Empire as well. And ironically enough, for whatever reason, I had flicked through the channels over the weekend and I was watching, it was before the news came out, and Ghostbusters came on, but the female version with Melissa McCarthy and, you know, everybody that was in that film, and it was funny. And I happened to see him in there playing one of the, I think he was an FBI agent, and we didn't typically see him in those comedy type of roles, but he was funny, and it made me smile. I'm like, all right, you know, his roles, his lines were funny. It was perfect for what he was doing in the film, and I was tough. And to see, it was tough to read all that, but to see all of the outpouring of love that people talked about with him after finding out the news, it was great knowing that he had that type of impact on people just from his work and what he has done. And so many people that he has seemed to have touched over the course of the years before we knew who he was, right? Before we knew who he was. So, and I just wanted to make sure I said something about that, and the fact that we lost a great one. Again, the role of Omar in The Wire was legendary and one of the best. I'm just reliving some of that stuff, and it was funny. Me and Pat Egan were just talking about it last week. I was like, you know what? I think I want to rewatch The Wire. And he was like, always, you know, of course. And of course, I think a lot of people, all of us, are going to do that again now with this news. Unfortunately, the passing, where it seems that they were talking about a potential overdose, and he has had a history of battling substance abuse. So just wanted to make sure I talked about him, and of course said the thoughts and prayers with him and his family. And we lost a great one as far as actors go and entertainers overall, because I didn't know he started off as a dancer, but yeah, he started off as a dancer, and they said he was very good at it. Saw some clips of him choreography that he had done for some videos in the past. So one of my favorites, and I just wanted to make sure that we brought that up and made sure I shared how I felt about Michael K. Williams. So 610-632-0975. So if you have something to say about that, please do. And when we get back, we'll take your phone calls with the Philadelphia Eagles. Who are they? And why not them in winning this division or even making the playoffs overall as a wild card team? 610-632-0975. We'll get Tyler's thoughts. And apparently we can give away as many ticks that we want to here on tonight for the Fan Fest, Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live. So we'll do that with the best callers here tonight, right here, till 10, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 630-97-5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Abbreviated run tonight and every Monday night going forward during the NFL season. Inside the Birds, you just heard Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan from 6 to 8 every Monday following Birds games. So I'll be on after them running until 10. And that is the case tonight following a holiday weekend where it is on this Tuesday night. So make sure you jump in with us here. 610-632-0975. As we talk about the Birds and ask, who are they? You know, who are the Birds as we get ready for week one of the season? And why not them making the playoffs and specifically winning the division? We have all of these reasons why they can't, and why Washington, Dallas, some cases New York just at least finishing above them. Why not the Philadelphia Eagles? 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli is here as well. We'll get his thoughts here shortly. And don't forget, if you want to say anything about Michael K. Williams, I'm here for it. Fantastic actor, passed away this weekend. And it was sad, sad news to hear it. And we'll also give away some FanFest tickets as we are getting closer and closer. Not this weekend, next Saturday, September 18th. Man, that got here fast. So we have tickets to give away, and we want to make sure we share those with you and give you an opportunity to join us. All right? All right. 610-632-0975. Let's start off, as promised, in Huntington Valley with Heavy tipping things off on this Tuesday night. Hev, how you doing?
What up, bro, man? I'm chilling, bro. What up with you?
Oh, pretty good, man. Golfing this weekend?
Dude, I just left the course, man. Was just hitting some balls.
Oh, late night.
Yeah, man. You know what? I actually got, so the club I play at, I'm able to just drive my car right onto the range and hit balls at night. Some nights I'm there till, there's been some late nights. So that's, it's a fun time, though.
That's dope. Good. You love it. So, hey, go for it.
Hey, man, that's my thing. But, I just, about the Eagles, man, I just think there are too many ifs for this season to go, you know, as well as we would like it to go.
Mm-hmm.
And those ifs are, you know, not just regarding this team, but regarding the three other teams that are also struggling with up in the air situations. You know, I mean, you look at the Redskins, Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a fantastic defense, and you know, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick as your quarterback. Now, is there a possibility that he could play great and they could, you know, win, you know, nine games? I don't think anything double digits is going to end up winning this division. I think it's going to be nine games. I mean, possibly even eight games
for the division.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, is there a possibility that the Eagles could do it? Yeah, but I think you are talking about the possibility that everything goes right for them, and not just goes right for them, but also goes wrong
for everyone else,
the three other teams in the division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a rookie quarterback, almost. You know, he's up in the air. I like what I hear. You know, a lot of guys say that he is a leader and that he's a worker. I mean, I like that. And I do think that if things go right, he could be, you know, he could be the next franchise quarterback. And, you know, he could be the next star. But, you know, it's just... You know, everything is just up in the air with this team. You don't know what's going to happen. We have a brand new head coach, but you know, I just don't know. I don't know how strong they're going to be. In my gut, I don't see this team winning more than seven games, but you know, this 17 game season is going to be a whole nother animal, and you're going to see teams struggle with injury, and there could be a situation where, you know, the three other teams in this division get hurt. And if the Eagles stay healthy, which I don't see that happening because you have, you know, you look at your offensive line, you got at least two guys who are one injury away from, you know, practically calling it quits.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if things do go right and they stay healthy, do they have a chance? Sure, they have a chance. But I don't think it is a promising chance, but there's always a possibility in football. We all know that.
Yeah, always is. You know? And quickly, have what you got on the Phils?
I'm watching the Phils right now, man. The one thing, you know, they just let up some runs, but
Aaron Nola, man.
These guys have to understand, and especially for Nola, man. He, you know, every start that, you know, they got 25 games left, and every start that he makes, it's the most important start of his career. And I don't know if these guys grasp that yet. I really hope they do. But he's got, you know, he's got to go into these games. You know, it's the bottom of third and they're already down two and, you know, one out and there's a guy on second. He's got to understand this is tonight is my most important start of my career.
Yep, game and a half back in the division.
He's got to perform.
Game and a half back in the division and two games back for that second wild card. Have thanks for the call, man. And right now, once again, we keep saying we're going to call on Aaron Nola and we ask, which one are we going to get? Are we going to get the good Aaron Nola? Are we going to get the bad Aaron Nola? And so far, down two zip in the bottom of the third. This is not the way that you wanted him to start off. 610-632-0975. Oftentimes, especially since we are now in a run here for the postseason, we are open, of course, to taking your phone calls as you watch, just like Heavy is, I'm sure others are, while you watch the game, if you want to call in and vent or be excited about the Philadelphia Phillies and something that they're doing right now, it's not looking good. It appears now that it is a 3-0 deficit by the Phillies as they give up another run here. And here we go again with Aaron Nola, top of the third, 57 pitches in for Aaron Nola. 610-632-0975. We get the title on that as well because he can pay attention to a little more than we are right now. But next up, we go to Mike on the cell here on the Fanatic. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, good, Devon. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, man.
I enjoy listening to your show. It's the first time I've called into your show.
Thank
especially,
you.
Especially after Sixer games. I really like listening.
We're going to have a lot of that this season, Mike, of course.
Yeah, definitely. And I hope it's going to be a lot better feedback than what I want to give on the Eagles because I enjoyed what you said in the beginning there with your summation of the Birds and the East and all the other teams. But similar to my man right before this call, I have the same exact sentiments. I think pretty much every other second receiver and maybe even the third, and I could be wrong, but I'm not too far wrong. Probably have more career receptions than our starting three are going to have for a career wide receivers. Mm-hmm. That is,
mm-hmm.
You know, and then you combine that with the first year coach and Hurts, who I think, I'm a little excited about him. And, you know, the defense, big question mark. We made some upgrades where we needed to at the linebacker position. And again, we have two legit corners for the first time in a long time. But I just don't see, I think Dallas is as sick as it makes me to say it. I think they're going to be a whole lot better because they're healthy and they have a tremendous amount of talent. Hope not, but, and I think they finally have someone in Washington. That owner is letting a football man run the show. And unfortunately, I think we're going to start seeing some good things coming out of that team as well.
And that's why
Giants
I thought Washington...
a dumpster fire.
Yeah, that's why I thought Washington, Mike, was going to be the leader because, as you just pointed out, Dan Snyder is out of the way and he's let Ron Rivera just do football stuff.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely agree with that. And that's scary. When they signed him, I guess, 2 years ago now, whatever it's been, I thought that because I think Ron Rivera is a great football mind. He's a great coach. He's a great human being. And if anybody was going to turn around that mess, he's potentially the guy. But again, enough on what anybody else is going to do. I mean, I'm excited for football. I'm a huge Birds fan. And you know what? If we get 7 or 8 wins, I'm okay with that because this is a growing year. And if Hurts plays well and we know he's the guy and we're playing good, strong, solid football, losing close games, I'm okay with that. I don't know what your thought is on that, and I'll hang up and listen.
Hey, Mike, thanks, man. Appreciate it. And listen, by the way, you want to – he hung up. All right, because we're giving out tickets. We're going to ask Mike if he wanted to join us at Fan Fest. But I – to your point of how I feel about 7-8, and I think 7-8 is right around that range, Mike, of where they are going to be. 7-8 is where they are going to be, in my opinion. And could be better, could be worse. But right now, they are that 7-8 team. So is that satisfactory, you know, when you ask about that? Yeah, because I didn't expect them to do anything better than that. You know, if they go below, I'll be disappointed, and obviously we'll talk about it each and every week as it happens. So we will isolate each game, analyze it, and discuss it as it plays out. Reasons why they won, reason why they lost, why we're happy about it, why we're not happy. And at the end of the season, we'll reevaluate things and talk about what they did and didn't do. This team again, when we talk about it, just why we're asking who are they, the expectation, many people have talked about it all offseason where there are no expectations. So you are either going to be right there in the middle where it was like, oh, this is what I expected. Or you're going to be four where you thought they were four-win team, five-win team, seven, eight, like myself and Mike. And that's just what it's going to be. So if they end up a 7-8-win team, I'm not mad at that because I understand, I think I understand where they are with a young head coach, a young quarterback, a young coaching staff overall. I'm not expecting much. On the other hand, Mike and others, there are those people who think that they can actually get that 10, 9, 10, 11 and win the division. We've heard it. We've had these conversations where we've said, are you serious? Really? You think they're going to win the division and win all those games? And people are absolutely on board with them doing just that. So if they won 7-8, fine with me. The other part with that, Mike, is, as you said, you've heard the show, first time for us talking, don't be a stranger, by the way. How did it happen? It's what we always say here on this show. How did it happen? Whether it's hockey, basketball, baseball, football, how did it happen? So if they got to that 7-8, how did they get to that 7-8? How did it happen for us to lay it all out and have our opinion, of course, on what that team is at that time? 610-632-0975. Phil's get out of it. Trail 3-0 right now in the top of the fourth. Aaron Nola, back on the mound. Carl and Langhorn with us here on this Tuesday night. Carl, how you doing?
Hey, Devon. How are you? Good show, pal.
Thank you, man.
I didn't want to talk about Aaron Nola, but how many chances is he going to get?
I don't know.
You know, how many chances are we going to give him? This is his game. This is his game. And it's just 3-0 before you know it.
Man. You know what it kind of reminds me of, Carl? So remember 2009? Phillies got back to the World Series, but Cole Hamels just had that off year. Yeah. Now, of course, it was totally different because they were trying to win another World Series, but it was that year where, all right, Cole Hamels having an off year.
Yeah.
You know, what is it here with Aaron Nola, except for Aaron Nola hasn't had the career of Cole Hamels to have a mulligan type of season.
Right.
Not even that he had a mulligan because we wanted them to win so badly back-to-back, but it's just one of those years, and now next season, Carl, we're going to be asking, all right, what are you, Aaron Nola?
Yeah, and I don't think he'll ever be able to answer that question the way we would like him to.
Right.
But as for the Eagles, I just think, barring any injuries, people are writing them off. But if you believe in building a team through the lines out, I mean, they're offensive-defensive lines. So I think, you know, barring any injuries, could be promising. Their offensive line could obviously be one of the best in the NFC, you know, as long as they don't get hurt. But that's, you know, the way I look at it.
No, and you're right. And this is the philosophy that they've had for many years, all going all the way back for many of us to remember Andy Reid talking about it so often, Carl, where they would draft linemen on both sides and we would get ticked off because we wanted position and skill players. And we would get mad. And later on, we'd be like, oh, that's why. Because of that. And that is the philosophy. And we've heard Howie Roseman. He said it as much last week with that joint press conference with Nick Sirianni after the 53 was put together, and they have, you know, an abundance of people on both sides because they want to build, as you pointed out, inside out like we've seen in the past with this organization.
Yeah, question marks everywhere, but as long as those two, like I said, barring any injuries, can stay healthy, I think that could win them a bunch of games. And you know, I'll see what happens at that point.
Now, when you say a bunch of games, I don't even want a prediction. I just want.
They won in 9 games, realistically.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
All right. I mean, like I said, you know, that's barring injuries and Jalen Hurts. But if the Lions can stay healthy, they can win you games on their own.
Okay. All right.
And then I also want to talk about Michael K. Williams.
Yes, sir.
Periodic show, period show, but Chalky White was one of the best characters on any television show I've ever seen. I would tune in on Sunday nights just to see him on Boardwalk Empire. Him alone. So if you get around to watching it.
So as good as the show was, and people talk about how much of a good show it was, you tuned in because of him.
Every week. Just to see what he was up to. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. See, and that just goes to
great
show.
Character.
Yes.
Great character.
Stunned when you heard the news yesterday.
Very stunned.
Yep. Same here, man.
A friend of mine. He saw it on his phone and told me what happened, and I was very stunned.
Yeah. Same here, man. Listen, Carl. Thanks for the call, man. Would you be interested in joining us for FanFest?
Absolutely.
Hang on.
And just a quick, not to hold you up, this is the first time I've called in the show in, I don't know, 21 years since Anthony was on another station.
Wow.
You inspired me tonight to call in.
Well, Carl, listen, man, we want to get you these tickets and make sure we catch up next Saturday at Xfinity Live. Thank you, Carl. Hang on. Speak to Tyler, and Tyler will get you information. And here's the thing that I mentioned, too, to my close friend that I said I texted immediately when I saw the news. After I kind of let it settle in and I digested it and all of that, I said, we were going back and forth talking about it. And it was just one of those guys where you felt like Michael K. Williams, you just kind of, you knew him. And he did on a more personal level because of the work that he did. And they became, kind of friendly over the years. And again, part of the reason why I reached out to him, because I know of their existing relationship. And he's just one of those guys where you just felt like you knew him. You just felt like you knew Michael K. Williams. Whether you called him Omar or Chalky White or whatever you wanted to call him, you felt like you knew Michael K. Williams. And that's why it hit the way that it did. And to hear, speak about that character and on Boardwalk Empire and tuning in and just for that, that speaks to how good he has done with his work. I was listening to Mike earlier, Missinelli, and he talked about how he felt like that was the number one character in all of television that he has seen in his time, ranking his best characters of all time, Mike's favorite characters, pardon me, from television, and he is number one, Omar, because of the job that he did on The Wire.
I saw a post, and it was from somebody who's an adult now, but they were a kid when it happened. And they said that they saw him at a restaurant, and he was a kid, and not a kid, but younger, and couldn't help. He was staring, knew who he was, wanted to get up the courage to say hello. Apparently, Williams kind of made eye contact with him, saw him, came over, chatted with him. The kid said, "Hey, can I ask you? I really love your work. Can I ask you some questions?" And apparently, he and Williams sat together for like 45 minutes and chatted it up. And then, Williams left and found out apparently that day was his birthday. That's why they were at the restaurant, and bought him a piece of cake before he left and wrote a little note and said, "Can't wait to see you on TV, kid." So
I saw that one. And I think the other part of it was he handicapped?
Yes.
I think he was handicapped. He sat down with him and he said the one thing that really got to him was many people always want to talk about,
they want autographs.
The autographs, yes, and things of that nature. He just wanted to talk.
Yeah, he just wanted to talk about careers and characters.
Yeah, just wanted to talk. Yeah, so I remember seeing him at a Sixer game a couple of years ago when they were good. They just started, they turned it around from the rebuild, and they were good. And, you always look back, and I always say I never want to bother people when I see them, and I didn't. But that's probably one that I look back and say, I'll see him again. I'll see him again. And unfortunately not the case. 610-632-0975. We lost a great one in Michael K. Williams. So if you did want to say something about him and his career, please. We will be here until 10 to do that, to talk about the Birds. You can vent about the Phillies trailing 3-0 right now. Aaron Nola, not good at this moment. We'll start off with Isaac when we get back. Everybody else that's there that follows, and we'll get Tyler Zuli's thoughts on everything as we go along. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens on this Tuesday night, running until 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock right here on this Tuesday night. Back at it tomorrow following Beers with Bob at 7 o'clock for us. Beers with Bob Cooney and Andrew Souchunas. That gets underway at 6 p.m. right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So make sure you check them out. Go to Live Casino. Hang out with the guys, and they'll probably be giving away some tickets on site if you want to make sure you make your way down there and get there. And you might as well go visit because we're going to have our after party after Fan Fest at that place. So if you want to go check it out, want to make sure you get in there and get a room. But, you know, after party, you're going to have a good time. You don't want to drive home and Uber prices might be too high. Hang out there. You're going tailgating the next morning anyway. So just hang out there at the Live after checking out with Bob Cooney and Andrew Souchunas tomorrow for Beers with Bob and, you know, kind of prep for next weekend, next Saturday at Xfinity Live. All right. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you. Let's go right to, apparently, Aaron Nola can't find a strike zone in this game. We'll get the title on that one. But Stacy says he has no command and, you know, all that stuff. Let's go to Isaac in South Ambler here on the Fanatic. Isaac.
Hey, Devon, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
You had a wonderful Labor Day weekend, man.
I did, man. Very quiet. Thank you, man. I hope the same for you.
Yeah, man. I wouldn't say it was quiet, though, but, you know, I try to get that in.
Understood.
So, you know what, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. And you know what, since everything that happened and now leading up to the Eagles, I think 100% this year's 2021 Philadelphia Eagles have a shot to actually win the division.
All right.
But not because I think this team's actually good. No, I think this team actually has, again, this team has incredible questions that need to be answered between the coach and staff, between the quarterback, between, will the players even hold up in health? The only reason why I put the Eagles in that situation is because they benefit in the fact that they are in the one of the most unpredictable divisions that is in the NFC East. At the end of the day, I honestly do think like the Cowboys, Giants, even Washington teams have done better, but you really trust any of those teams to actually finish the job, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
You know, for one, let's talk about the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys greatly have a fantastic offense, but with now Dak now starting to show injury all of a sudden and now get an MRI in his throwing arm, which is never a good sign, you start to concern yourself about that. And you really have a trust in Daniel Quinn in trying to turn that defense around in the Cowboys area. I don't know what your opinion on that. Daniel Quinn, I think, isn't Daniel Quinn right now the new defensive coordinator in
Dallas?
Cowboys?
Yes.
For Dallas? Yes. And I mean, honestly, you saw what he did in Atlanta. It was not that great. So I don't know how much trust you have that within the defense. And then you go into Washington at the moment. I love what Rivera has done. I think Rivera has done great things for that defense, and I think that defense is going to be top five. But then on the other side of that, you look at the offense with Ryan Fitzmagic, Fitztragic, who, you know, he has that great stint of, well, he'll give you like three or four fantastic games, and then he'll have one bad game, and just like Magic, he disappears, and you've never seen him yet. And then when it comes to the Giants, I think the Giants are a bit of a mediocre team. I don't know if you trust in Danny Penny's to be able to carry that team right now. And you also have your major, one of your major running backs coming back from surgery. So you kind of look at the unpredictability that's always the NFC East. And I think just by proxy, you have to say that Philadelphia Eagles are going to be in it.
Well, and that's a great layout, Isaac, and this is what we're asking. And, you know, I appreciate you laying it out that way because there are those questions with the other teams as well. While there are questions here in Philadelphia, of course, we see them more, so they're more glaring. We understand exactly what it is for the Philadelphia Eagles. We pay attention to everything with this team. The others are not perfect, and that's why we're sitting here asking the question. Now, again, I'm not there where they can – I don't think that they can win it, and I don't think that they will even be in it. I mean, it's going to be, first of all, they're going to have a tough start with the first four games where they have on the road for Atlanta,
back home for San Fran, that's a tough one. Go to Dallas and then KC, even though it's here, that's tough. They could potentially start off 0-4, but, you know, probably 1-3, at best 2-2 with that one. And then it's just a matter of not losing faith and, you know, losing your focus, not keeping your head down instead of keeping it up and trying to push forward and turn into that team that you're talking about. So, listen, Isaac, thanks for the call, man. You want to join us at FanFest?
You know what? I've been trying to get to FanFest for a long time. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go.
All right, well, listen, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Good call. And exactly what we were talking about and asking for people to lay out why, you know, you might believe that the Philadelphia Eagles could win. Why not them? Why not them? What is so great about the other teams that we overlook the Philadelphia Eagles, even with the faults that they have, and we know they have them? The other teams are not perfect. They are not. But better than the Eagles for me, but they're not perfect, where things could go sideways. Not even talking about injury. Everyone can have an injury that will turn things around for those four franchises, all four of them. Everyone can have an injury. So we're not talking about that. We're just strictly talking about personnel and their groupings. Fitzpatrick, that's a big thing for Washington. The defense overall for Dallas. And even Dak Prescott, because look, man, that injury was nasty. That broken foot, right? Wasn't it a broken foot? But it was, obviously it was termed something different, but it was his foot. It was his ankle that flipped the other way. Isn't that the same thing that happened to Gordon Hayward? Where his ankle went the other way? With that ankle, that foot in the ankle? Look how long it took for him to come back and be close to the player that we thought Gordon Hayward was, former all-star and all-star potential guy, helped turn things around with Boston. It took him to leave Boston after the two seasons since he came back from the injury to go to Charlotte and be that player where I think Boston misses him. Dak Prescott is coming back from an ugly, ugly injury. And then you have the Giants. You'll start with Daniel Jones, and then you'll go up and down with what that football team is. I happen to think that they'll be a little bit better. Tyler and I have talked about this. We've gone back and forth on it. We disagree on it. But I never said that they would win a division. I just thought that they would be a little better than the Philadelphia Eagles. That said, there again, why not the Philadelphia Eagles? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight on this Tuesday. Talking Birds, updating the Phils, down 3-0 in the top of the fifth. Tyler Zuli, quickly first, the Phils, what's going on? What have you seen? Because we are not able to see it all.
Yeah, I mean, from what I'm watching, it's another one of those Aaron Nola starts where he will not attack the zone. He's struggling with command with the fastball, which is obviously never a good thing. And he fell behind and wasn't able to get the pitcher, Eric Lauer, out. And then things kind of spiraled out of control. And that's how you end up with a 3-0 game for the Brewers. I know I've said this to you before, Devon, and I've said this, you know, on the weekends and things like that as well. At this point, if they make the playoffs, still a big time if, but if they make the playoffs, he hasn't earned a start. I would not start him in a game, especially in the first round. You know, you're going to have to if it's a wild card game, because Wheeler's going to have to go in the wild card game to get to the NLDS. But if you win the division and you're waiting upon somebody to get to the NLDS, my rotation at this point goes Wheeler, Gibson, Suarez, because I don't trust this guy at all.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. It's still earnable. He can earn it back with a couple of quality starts strung together. But right now, I don't know what Aaron Nola I'm going to get. And while the upside is enormous still, right, you see a guy that took a perfect game into the late innings and has pitched into the eighth and into the ninth on a couple of occasions this season, mm-hmm. The question marks are too great right now. When you're in a playoff series, especially a five-game series, I can't trust him to take the mound right mm-hmm. now.
No, listen, it's understood. Wow. So he would be your fourth guy.
He'd be four.
Wow. Okay.
I'd bring him out of the bullpen if I need to, of course. I mean, you're using everybody. It's all hands on deck in the playoffs. But if you, especially if you're in the DS and you can get Wheeler in game one, I'm not so certain, unless it's 2-0, that I feel comfortable going to him right now. He's a liability.
All right, man. That's a good one. We might have to do that one a little further on another day where we talk about that with Aaron Nola specifically. The Eagles question, who are they and why not them? You are someone who, again, has had him at six. No more than seven. You can go ahead. Yeah, no more than seven. So with the six and no more than seven for you, I just asked to go in a different direction. Why not them? And, yeah, just, you know, to lay that one out, why not them when you look at the Birds and what they could potentially do and potentially at least positioning themselves to win this division, if not get a wild card spot and make the playoffs?
I think too many factors work against them to answer you that question. And again, we've talked about this a million times, whether you've heard me say it on the weekends or with you or with whomever. Record doesn't really matter to me. Again, unless it's a contending record or a record where it's like 1-16, it doesn't really matter to me. But I think that there are too many factors working against them, including the fact that Washington is a better football team than them, and the Dallas Cowboys are probably a better football team than them as well. Their schedule is, I think that Adam used a strong word today, it's totally subjective, because in my estimation, it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Some have said, oh, well, it's not that bad. I think their first six games is a gauntlet. And there's a very real possibility they're 1-5.
I just laid out the four just to be kind.
You know, obviously Kansas City and Tampa Bay is ugly. You've got to go to Dallas on Monday night.
And San Fran is here.
San Fran is too. A lot of people expect San Francisco to be a playoff team this year. Now, I don't know if getting them in week two is actually a blessing, because they may not be back to rolling on all cylinders just yet, but there's a very real possibility this team's 1-5 after 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's too many question marks about this team still, and questions that we need to be answered to answer the question, why not them? I think that you can have success even if you don't translate it to wins, but the why not the Eagles question, there's just too many outside factors that don't work for them.
Okay. All right. 610-632-0975. How you feeling, though? 2 days away from the start of the NFL season. Feeling good?
I am feeling cautiously excited.
Are you speaking of the COVID stuff?
No, the Eagles.
I'm talking more NFL.
Oh, with the league being
back?
Oh, I mean, I'm thrilled.
You excited?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to Thursday night's game. You know, obviously it's the seventh time Brady's done this, but I always get excited about that Thursday night game. The Eagles on Sunday, you know, we'll be locked in and you know where we'll be. However, you know, from a, are they going to be good or bad? It's, again, I don't necessarily care, but from a viewership standpoint, I guess it does become a little bit more difficult and maybe even a little bit mundane if their record isn't strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like you're balancing viewership as a fan versus understanding what this team is as a little bit more objectively. And mm-hmm. that's kind of where that weird balance comes in. And I think that this objective side is winning pretty steeply for me right now, which is why I'm going to be locked into every game.
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch the season. It's going to be fun. It will be agonizing at times, right?
Oh, we're still going to be
frustrated. You were about to say miserable.
We'll still be miserable if they don't, like, if they're not, their record isn't indicative of, even if it's not indicative of how they're playing, we'll still be miserable if they're 1-5.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as fans, we're going to be like, oh, this stinks. But from, like, that viewership, that objective viewership standpoint, we're going to go, okay, like you mentioned, how did it happen?
How did it happen?
Are they 1-5 and in 4 of the 5 losses they got blown out? Because that's unacceptable.
Yes.
Are they 1-5 and in 4 of those 5 losses they lost on, they had the ball and, you know, on the final possession of the game with a chance to tie the game and couldn't convert or whatever it might be? If it's close games, you'll feel better.
Yep, absolutely. All right, 610-632-0975. We're running until 10. I'm Devon Givens. This is Steve in Bristol, next on the Fanatic. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Devon. How's it going?
It's going all right, man. Hope you had a good weekend, good holiday weekend.
Yeah, I did. I hope you did too.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk to about the Eagles real quick, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So I've been going back and forth with my buddies, debating on how many wins we think the Eagles are going to get and whatnot. And I'm torn between, like, worst case scenario, maybe 4-6, and then best case, about 7-9. But I mean, this is the kind of division where it can go any way. Like, they could be last place, or they can possibly win the division, and they could probably win this division with like 9 wins, because You know how this division goes. You know, it's the NFC beast.
Right.
That's the way I look at it. But I really do believe with this roster that, I mean, they got some great names. Like, on paper, they're actually a decent team. And just like all the NFC East teams, they all have their own flaws. And I think the team can be very successful with good play calling, and hopefully Jalen Hurts can turn out to be a decent player.
So when you talk about the good play calling thing, and we say why not them, and why can they not be the team that sneaks up and does this thing, part of it is what you just said. Nick Sirianni probably exceeding expectations, right? Because if he's going to be a play caller, we don't know what he's going to do, right, Steve? We don't know if the things that he dials up, and not the things that we saw with the Colts, and some of the things that people may remember going back to his days with the Chargers, that it will be a little bit different based on what his personnel is right now, quarterback, skill people, all of that, that it might be better because of what you just said. The fact that Nick Sirianni might actually do something as an offensive coordinator where they don't figure it out.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then if I could just add one more quick note before my time is up. As a fan, I'm just excited for football in general.
Yeah.
You know, we've been waiting a long time, and I think the Eagles team can be exciting, whether they're good or bad. I think it's going to be a lot of high scoring. I just think they're going to be fun to watch, regardless if they're good or bad.
Got you. Steve, thanks, man. You want to hang out with us at FanFest?
Oh, man, I would love to.
What took you so long, man? We got you covered. Hang on. Tyler will talk to you and get you all squared away, and we'll catch up with you next week, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
You got to hang on, man. Don't hang up. Tyler will get to you and take down your information. And while Tyler does that, let me tell you about the Fanatic Fan Fest. 97.5 The Fanatic Fan Fest is Saturday, September 18th at Xfinity Live. Fan Fest 2021 is a free event, but you will need a ticket to attend. All right? How about this? Just add it to the guest list. Brian Dawkins, courtesy of our Fan Fest presenting sponsor, you know who it is, FanDuel Sportsbook. Charlie Manuel, also a special VIP guest this year. That's courtesy of our friends at Landis Block. DJ Mo Green will be performing, and a bunch of other great things, some feature attractions that we will have at FanFest, some things that we've had in the past, and some newer things that we look forward to sharing with you next Saturday, September 18th. At Xfinity Live. While we're at it, let me tell you about the after party info that Steve and others, you, could be there with us. FanFest after party will be at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, home of Beers with Bob, with Andrew Zalchunas and Bob Cooney, on Wednesday night, 6 to 7. There will be live entertainment, food, and drink specials at Sports and Social. Sports and Social has a 52-foot LED display, 24 TVs, and a fantastic sportsbook and lounge, and more. Plus, you can enter to win one of 25 Samsung 75-inch HD TVs. Sign up now for live rewards and get your choice of free play, food credits, or merchandise. Play all night. Stay the night at Live Hotel. Over 200 luxury rooms with 5-star accommodations. You must be 21 to enter FanFest, so make sure that you share that with us and let us know that you are of age to hang out with us, because it's going to be a blast starting, I'm guessing, around 1 p.m. and running through the evening, as we just laid out for you again, the after party information that will be there for you on that Saturday, September 18th. All right? All right. So it's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. Make sure you come hang out with us, but you must be 21 and you have to have a ticket to get in. And the way to do that on our shows, ticket raids, joining Bob and Andrew tomorrow at Live Casino for the Beers with Bob show, and they'll most likely have some on site for you to ask them for. All right? All right. Tyler Zuli will be there. I think Tyler will be there, unless he's working back here or doing a show or something.
Well,
I don't know. Just let us
yes,
know.
I will let you know. By the way, did you tell our friends who all this is presented to us by?
I only told them they had to be 21 and enter FanFest.
Okay, so I'll tell them who it's presented to us by. Because it's presented to us by FanDuel Sportsbook and Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. As you mentioned, the official hotel partner and after party of the Fanatics FanFest 2021.
Beautiful. All right. Well, listen, final segment on the other side, 9:45, The Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. I will also have one thing before that's sports related, before Tyler's Leftovers involving Tom Brady. Do you have that? You don't have that?
I do not.
Cool. I will bring that up to you and the listeners. We will talk to OG. We will get to the rest of the callers. We'll get to them. And I also have one thing on the Matrix that I have to ask a simple question. Very simple question. Very simple question. You know the character Neo, Matrix. We'll talk about it on the other side because I just have a question as we close things out. Final segment on the other side. Devon Givens, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment here, 97.5 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975, 931, Devon Givens here, Tyler Zuli, 945, The Leftovers, as we talked about the Birds this evening, Phillies right now still 3-0, it is the middle of the fifth, I think it is, for the Phils, down 3-0, Aaron Nola not doing his job, well, he's slowed them down. Where they have not scored since the second, third inning, whatever it was. Let me just take a peek here. I think it was the third inning since when they last scored. And Atlanta is holding up 5-1 on Washington. And Cincinnati is up 2-1 on Chicago. So they might want to get themselves together. But anyway, the scoring was all in the third inning for the Milwaukee Brewers. And hopefully the Phils can go on their one of their runs again. Put up 7 runs. How about that? Maybe. Maybe not. Let's go to OG in Warrington, and then we'll get to the other points that we wanted to get on. I have my Tom Brady thing, and I have my Matrix thing. OG, what's up?
Yo, Devon, how are you?
How you doing, man?
Yo, man, you and Z, man. Good team. Good team.
Yeah, he's a good dude, right, man.
All right. I'll be brief, because you got a couple people hanging. I'm going to make, like, 4 quick points. First of all, prediction, schedule-wise, 5-12 will be the worst. 9-8 will probably be the best. All right, that's what I'm saying.
9-8 best, okay.
9-8 would be 5-12, and that would be a plus. Second thing, if I want to see anything out of Sirianni and the new regime, I want to see time management much better executed, even when Andy Reid and Doug Rader, time management, timeouts, the things that happened, right at the end of the first half. I mean, most of us in Philly got frustrated by when they took their timeouts. How do you feel about that?
Sure did. Yeah, I'm curious to see how he does those things when he decides to go no huddle. When he decides to huddle up and kind of slow things down a little bit more and go in that direction, OG, I am curious to see how Nick Sirianni handles that. Be the timeout situation, to your point, as well, because we want to see and make sure that he has a better grasp for him, just a grasp and understanding how this stuff can get in the way for you, and when that does in fact take place, that you need to have your timeouts going into the end of the half and positioning yourself to, if you need it, it's available for you.
Brother, it's killed me for years. I mean, I've been following the team for 50 years. Anyway, 2 more quick points. The one thing that I do want to see moving forward is that the running game this weekend, especially, against Atlanta, you're going to have to figure out, and I hope the new defensive coordinator has figured out something to do with 84, this kid Pitts, for Atlanta is like Megatron 2.0. And it's like if they don't figure what's going to happen with that, this could get out of hand really quick. And
that's where the linebackers and or safeties, who's going to check him off the line of scrimmage? That is going to be a matchup, OG, that a lot of us will be paying attention to. Not just because he's a local guy and we want to see how good he is out there. It's because it could hurt you. Could hurt you.
The kid's a flat out stud.
He is.
All right. My last point. I'm like the salmon swimming against the stream. As much as I hate the Dallas Cowboys, and I shouldn't say hate. Yeah, I hate. I think that they have a very good chance of upsetting the Bucks on Thursday night.
Ooh.
There's been so much emphasis on, you know, not just Dak, but all this other stuff and Tom Brady being the GOAT and all that. I just have a feeling that somehow they're definitely going to cover, but it's like I'm afraid, not afraid, but I just think that Dallas has a very good chance to upset the Bucks on Thursday night. How do you feel about that?
No, man, that's an interesting point. Look, we've seen in the past, OG, and are you joining us at FanFest? Did you want to? What's the deal?
I would love to go.
Oh, man, again, what took you so long? Hang on. Tal Azzulli is going to get your information, OG. Thanks for the call, man. We've seen in the past, where Super Bowl winning teams struggle a little bit. So if they find a little crack there, Dallas, to take advantage of all the celebration and the rings and the banner and all that. Well, the rings they already have them, but the celebration with the banner and all that stuff. Maybe they could sneak in there and take that one. Maybe they could. I don't see it, but maybe they could. 610-632-0975. Because these teams have performed pretty well. They've performed pretty well coming off these Super Bowls. The Eagles won their game, even though they struggled against the Falcons in 2018. They won. Mike and Cherry Hill, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Devon, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. I would really love to call you more, but it's a thing called work that gets in the way sometimes, man.
Understood.
And yeah, man, but I try to
come to your job, but I'm working when you're working. So
right, but
yeah.
Hey, man, Devon, you need to be more like Zuli, man. Zuli was, when he screamed, man, he was just definitely honest. I mean, he just told me the Phillies got no chance. That's what he told me, no chance. And then on the phone, you up here glad handing this guy that says Dallas is going to beat Tampa Bay. Come on.
Only because you've seen. Stop drinking. No,
this
Mike.
Late at night.
Only because, and it's a shame because I don't drink.
I'm talking about that guy that was trying to OG.
No, because you have seen Super Bowl teams struggle for game one. That's the only thing.
Man, come on, man. Dallas is the. I mean, did you see Michael Irvin trying to tell Stephen A. Smith today?
I did not.
That Dallas, I mean, you need to look that up. And I mean, Stephen A. Smith made the best point. He said they were 1-4 before this guy got beat. And the only game they won was against the Atlanta Falcons, who couldn't get on a football. They got the worst defense in football. What are they going to do to beat Tom Brady? So that's going to be a blowout. They're not going to cover OB. And just stop, you know, whatever you're betting on. Stop betting, because that's hurting you.
Well, I'll be betting on Tampa, by the way.
Exactly. And that's why you're one of the foremost sports voices in the Delaware Valley, because you put the work in. And you're honest almost to a fault. So I just want to say, I wanted to talk a little Phillies. I don't believe like Tyler, who's Mr. Negativity over there. I believe that the Phillies will win the division.
Oh.
Because you know why? The Braves don't scare me. I mean, come on. And yes, he was like, Tyler was like, well, it's more about the Phillies. Well, they're getting things together. And I wanted to get your opinion, because I know you study this team very closely. So what is your opinion, Devon? Don't you think that they can win the division against a shaky Braves club?
They could, yes, but I think the Phillies are shakier
than the Braves are. And while they've been able to score all those runs, Mike, and win those games, they won six consecutive. They struggled again against Miami. They take game one against Milwaukee as they start this series off. They could be, and look, they've kept themselves in it, so of course they can. But I just think at the very end, it's too much, especially when you're talking about the Braves being shaky. We just pointed out how Aaron Nola is shaky every time he steps on the mound. Well, we don't know who we're going to get and each start for him every fifth day, and potentially even, like Tyler pointed out, if they're in the playoff series, he doesn't even want to start him. So I think that right now it's just too much for them to overcome. It's admirable, and they are in a division race, which is fantastic. In September, we got some meaningful baseball, but I think at the very end they're going to fall short.
But again, I would just counter to that. You and Tyler, I guess, one mind here, but just you're in the race.
Yes.
So what does it matter that you're shaky? Your other team is just, I know you say you think we're more shakier, but you're in the race. You're not 10 games back. You're one or two. I mean, my goodness, don't you think these professionals could get on a little hot streak like there are? That's what I'm just counting on. I'm not saying that it's going to be.
And they did. They had the eight gamer. They just had the six gamer.
I'm just saying they're going to beat. They're going to catch.
They're going to win the division. Yeah, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. And I can't wait to call Tyler back in 3 weeks to brag on that, because I was right. Now, I just got a quick ask of you. In my fantasy football league, I drafted three birds. I drafted Dallas Goedert, I drafted Boston Scott, and I drafted the Heisman Trophy winner. How do you think those guys are going to do? And be deathly honest, brother.
Okay. All right, Mike. I asked you this already, but are you joining us next weekend?
Oh, come on, man. I got my tickets for the first date. Now, beautiful. You know, FanFest is one of my favorites.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
And we will see you there for sure. All right, man. Listen, thanks, man. I'll answer that off the air. Dallas Goedert, I think, look, you're going to have two tight ends that you're going to need help from. So he'll be good. The problem with Dallas Goedert, and even though I heard Adam say that, here's why it's a good pick. Nick Sirianni told us how much he was targeted with Zach Ertz in training camp by Jalen Hurts. Young quarterback. Questions with the outside receivers and the slot as well, where he's probably going to get a lot of targets and a lot of catches. That's the good part. The bad part, how much more will he feel comfortable with Zach Ertz over Dallas Goedert? But I think it will be Goedert, so I think you're good there. Boston Scott, it's just a matter of when you use him, because I don't see when you will use him. You're probably going to have other running backs that you feel more comfortable with over Boston Scott. So that's more of a thumbs down and a thumbs up. And finally, with Devontae Smith, can't go wrong with that one. Can't go wrong with that. He's the number one wide receiver. He's the one you probably trust more to be a guy who can game break and make big plays, big play maker. And I think you're good there with that, Mike. So thanks for the call as always. Appreciate the kind words, and we will see you next Saturday at Xfinity Live. All right, two things here for me. Tom Brady. Always liked him, respect him. He's the best of all time, right, to do it. He and I just got a little closer. Here's why. And Tampa's going to be good, by the way, this season. Tom Brady, and I looked at this Pro Football Talk tweet. Tom Brady calls the NFL's new rule, expanding jersey numbers, quote, crazy. And says the Cowboys have an advantage on Thursday night because multiple players on their defense have switched to single-digit numbers. Now, while that part I could care less about, and I think he's going to still do what he does, Tom Brady, against that Dallas defense, the fact that he thinks it's crazy makes me feel better about how I feel about the single digits in pro football with these changes with all these numbers.
Isn't Tom Brady like Mr. Film?
Yeah.
Like he's always watching film?
Yeah. That's why I said I'm not as concerned with that part. It's more of him calling it crazy.
So when you think about the players that have, you know, switched numbers or wearing different numbers or whatever it is, right? When it comes to the Dallas Cowboys defense, you're probably going, okay, who's the one that stands out? You go number 11, Micah Parsons. The
right
rookie,
now.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, go back and watch his Penn State tape. What number did he wear? 11. It's not going to be that hard to find them.
Same way you're watching Florida Kyle Pitts tape.
And believe me,
right?
When you're looking for who's the strong, big, fast, athletic guy who can cut the linebacker that can cover and pass defend and run, you know, playing the run, the defense for the Dallas Cowboys, you're not going to have to look too far. He's going to be all over the field because he's that good. You know who number 11 is. Don't give me there's a competitive advantage. You know who you're looking for.
And that, by the way, is not a single digit. That is a double
digit.
It's
not.
But it's one and one.
It's good math.
There you go. Final one before we get to the leftovers with Tyler Zuli here, 9:45, Monday through Fridays here on this show. The Matrix 4, we talked about it, right? Coming back, all that. They show, like, still shots and photos. Tyler, have you seen them?
I have not. I really almost have no interest in the movie.
Oh, I don't have any interest. This just popped up on Twitter. So if you look it up, can you pull it up on your phone really fast? Look up Matrix 4 and you'll see Keanu Reeves, right? As his character in Neo. As I look at it, here was my thing about it. Isn't he just John Wick?
That's literally the first tweet. So Keanu's look in The Matrix 4 is John Wick.
Isn't he John Wick?
In The Matrix.
He's no longer Neo. He is now John Wick. He looks... I'm not shaving for this role.
That's the thing. He's got to shave the beard if he's going to be Neo.
No, he's John Wick.
Well, you got to commit to one or the other.
Yes, the paycheck is there to do the Neo role.
So you got to shave the beard.
He's John Wick. What was he in Bill and Ted? The reunion thing. What did he have the hair? Facial hair?
I don't think so. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't think so.
He is John Wick.
I don't disagree.
That's who he is now.
But if the paycheck's going to come from the Matrix, you've got to be Neo.
No, he's committed. He's committed. No, he's now John Wick. It is over.
Well, then he shouldn't play Neo, then.
But they decided it was okay. My point is, the photos out there, I think at least those are the photos for the filming of the movie.
I think so.
And that is John Wick. That is not Neo from the Matrix. It is 9:46. Just a couple of things I wanted to get in before the leftovers. It is the real leftovers. Tyler Zuli.
How about this? The NHL will be back in the Olympics for next year. It's kind of strange to say the Olympics are next year, right? Because they were supposed to be the summer. We're supposed to be in 2020, and we're pushed back to 2021. So we're getting Olympics in back-to-back years. The Winter Olympics coming up in Beijing in 2022. The NHL and the NHLPA have come to an agreement with the IIHF and the IOC that will allow NHL players to play in the Winter Olympics. The agreement now does carry an opt-out clause that says the NHL and the NHLPA can pull out of the Olympics should COVID concerns continue to worsen, or if the 21-22 NHL season is disrupted because of COVID cancellations. They're going to have to make that decision by early January, but they do have that opt-out clause in mind. The NHL didn't participate in the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. It was the first time for five consecutive Olympics that they did not compete in the Winter Olympics. Now, the NHL is, of course, scheduled to have a break from February 3rd through February 22nd to allow this those players to go play in the Olympics. And All-Star Weekend will begin on February 4th. So if any player is on an Olympic team and the All-Star Game, they'll fly right from Vegas right to Beijing to compete in the Olympics.
I think we'll all pay close attention to this just simply because of the fact that we see things going right now where a lot of people are back to normalcy, if you will, even though we can't all be all the way back to normalcy. And wondering if that will cause the NHL players and the NHLPA to decide, you know what, it's probably in our best interest to stay away from there, knowing of what's going on at this time.
Well, and obviously, you know, we know that Canada is always a front runner to win the gold medal when they do compete in the Olympics. But I will send you a projected lineup that I saw the other day for the Canadian team if the NHL did play.
Okay.
It is unreal.
The Canadian team?
How good they are.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Major League Baseball next. The Braves locked up one of their key components again for next season. They announced a $20 million one-year deal with pitcher Charlie Morton for 2022. The contract includes a $20 million club option for 23, but no buyouts. So far in 28 starts this season, he's 13-5 since coming over from a season ago pitching for the Tampa Bay Rays. The right-hander has lasted at least 6 innings in 17 of his 28 starts this year and has failed to go at least 5 only 3 times. Sounds like a guy, I don't know about you, Devon, but maybe the Phillies could have used at the beginning of the year.
Oh, they certainly could have. And on a 1-year deal, that's pretty good for the Braves. My question next is, when will, as you say that, I'm trying to look it up. And did Freddie Freeman get his extension yet?
That's a good question. I will look it up.
I think he's completing. I'm looking at it right now. Got it. Completing his 8-year deal, Ty. This is his final year.
He's going to get paid.
They're going to have to do what they need to do to make sure that
he's got to get paid.
Oh, absolutely. By the way, his 8-year deal that he signed back then in 2013, 2014, $135.
It's a steal now.
Oh, my goodness.
7 years, $135. That's a steal for an MVP candidate.
$135.
That's an even bigger steal.
8 for $135, and he's going to get another one.
All right, one more story outside.
Good deal, though.
Outside of the world of sports, you, of course, are a parent. I am not yet, but I imagine that as a parent,
I like my
kids. One of the greatest joys that you can have is the ability to see your child for the first time and take them home and have a new member of your family, right?
I remember all three of them.
What happens when 20 years ago you accidentally were given to the wrong family and another baby was given to your family? Apparently that happened in Spain. So 20 years ago, there was a baby swap, effectively, where they were given to the wrong families. And it only happened by chance to find out because one of the two women who were swapped at the hospital took a DNA test to find out that her parents weren't her parents.
How many years later?
20 years. This happened. Oh. They were born in 2002, born 5 hours apart at the same hospital. They were also both on incubators because they were born underweight, so they were in the same room when they were switched. The woman discovered that she had the wrong parents and is now demanding a compensation of €3 million from local health authorities. The other woman, who did not know about it, was also informed. Neither of the two women have been named yet. But looking for some substantial compensation after being given to the wrong parents at the hospital.
All right, number one, they should be. Number two, I mean, how much? You gotta look at the parents too, right? It's like, it's tough, man. They deserve what she's asking for, but what happens with the parents? That's tough too. Now you've built this relationship with this other family. I don't know. It's all weird.
It's a strange situation.
It really
is. Those, Devon, are our leftovers for Tuesday night.
Could not imagine it. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweeters, all the listeners. Ty, great job by you. As always, we'll be back tomorrow starting at 7 after Beers with Bob here on The Fanatic. Hopefully you all have a great night. Phillies, they're getting beat now. They just scored on again. Everybody, be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.